There's been quite a theme this morning, the singing, Your Love Has Freed Us, and a lot of this stuff. And a pastor of ours in South Africa put up this week a post. He said, the immeasurable, you've got to stay with me, it's quite complicated. I saw Rocky Battle, I'd read it once or twice. The immeasurability of God's power to release your beauty, your destiny, beyond all that you can imagine, ask, or think, is inextricably, that's a big word, linked to your ability to comprehend the immensity of God's love for you. So I'll just say it that we can all understand. Everything that God has for you is linked up and held in your belief of how much God loves you. What a responsibility on us to just actually learn, understand, and receive the fact that God loves us that much. I always think about it this way. A little kid, 3, 4, 5 years old, man, he can do anything when Papa's standing behind him. Because he just thinks, I've got this all, man. I've got someone watching me. And we need to be like that with God. Is that all right? Amen. Hey, just this morning, I feel a little bit bad actually getting to speak on your birthday. Pastor Rocky should be speaking. So I feel really honored. And, you know, in New Zealand, 5 is quite a big thing. Because 5, you go to school. And I was just thinking about it this week. And I really feel just a word for C3 City Church Coast, that, you know, you've learned a lot and you've grown a lot, but God's saying you've learned nothing yet in compared to what's coming. And this season now, the 5th year, it's all going to start happening, and it's the next level. So moving from kindergarten to school, and this is where it starts happening, okay? So just encouragement to you guys and to everyone who's been here. Who's been here from the start? Who's been here 5 years? Yeah, give them a hand, guys. Yep, give them a hand. Well done, guys. That is super awesome. Can't believe it's 5 years already, and that's super exciting. So, yeah, bless you guys, and I think you're going to be excited for what's coming. I think it's going to be real exciting. We look forward to this place being too small. That'll be good, all right? Hey, I love sharing the word, and I really have a passion for it, but with it comes a responsibility. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, be careful when you teach because you'll be judged according to what you do. And so I don't take lightly, and I'll ask you to pray for me even while I'm speaking. But I also want to put a bit of responsibility on you. The Bible talks about the hearer of the word and being a doer. And if you don't do, there's a verse that says, even what you have will be taken away from you. So be very careful that what God has put in your heart doesn't get taken away because you're not doing what you hear today. And so I really believe there's a challenge for you. So let's pray, and then we'll look at the word of God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We want to stop everything that's happening in our hearts and our minds. And we want to just apply ourselves to your word and do what you want to say. God, what an incredible miracle that you would let someone like me speak the word and it can change the heart of someone else. And so I pray this morning for that responsibility, that I would say nothing that would take away from your glory. Nothing that will diminish anyone's opinion of you or their thought about you, but that what I say will change my heart and my life and everyone listening today. We pray that your word would come and divide between flesh and bone and what's of the spirit and what's not, that we could all leave here different to how we came. And we just pray that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, when I speak, I love just sharing a lot of the word of God, because I think too often we want to come hear someone speaking something real clever, but the word of God holds a lot more cleverness than I can bring you. And so I'm going to do a lot of that, and some of them from different translations, because you all know that a good speaker chooses a translation that suits what he's going to say. Okay, so Chris, I think McElhaney is how you say it. He sings a song. I don't want to miss one word you speak because your words are life to me. And that's just a cry of my heart and for you guys too. So this morning, just a couple of verses to get started with. In Isaiah 66 verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 66 verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to read a little bit from the Amplified. It says, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could actually build for me? And where will my resting place be? For all these things my hand has made. So all these things came into being by and for me, declares the Lord. But to this one And to this person I will look graciously and with favor. Verse 2, to him who is humble and contrite in spirit, and this is the part I really want to just emphasize, who reverently trembles at my word and honors my commands. When last did you just tremble at the word of God and honor the commands of God? So often we see it as a handbrake in our lives or a door that's closing stuff that we really want to do, but we need to tremble at the word of God and honor the commands of God. I do not believe it's possible to live without the word of God. It's not possible to be a Christian without the word of God in your life. And if the word you get's limited to Sunday mornings here for 30 minutes, you're in a poor state. I want to really challenge you. Pastor Ellen, I'm sure, has done it here as well, to challenge you to, let's try and read through the Bible in a year. Find an app on your phone, buy a devotional Bible or something. But let's be people who read the word and people who really live on the word. One more scripture that I found while preparing, I thought, man, that's incredible. Nehemiah chapter 8. Often we find parts of the Bible we want to read because they're good and they're exciting, and we skip some of the other books like Leviticus, Numbers, and maybe Nehemiah. But Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. And so on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. And he read it aloud from daybreak until noon as he faced the square in the water gate in the presence. And then it says in the last part of that verse, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So we're only asking for 30 minutes this morning, so not till noon. But interesting verse 4, just a little side note. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform that was built for the occasion. That must be the first pulpit ever in the Bible. And then verse 5, it says, and Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was above them. And listen to this. As he opened it, all the people stood up. How many of us, when someone gets up here and opens the book, flip on Facebook and see what we can catch up on quickly? Where's our heart, really? All the people, when they saw him open the book, they stood up. And it says, and Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And then all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. And they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Where's our reverence and our fear and our trembling for the word of God? I've said it before, maybe not over here, but I wonder if we just said this week, hey, next week we're canceling everything that happens here Sunday morning, and we're just going to have Pastor Rocky come, and he's going to read from the word. I wonder how many people would come. How many people would be charging in? We should be, because this is the word of God. This should be more than enough. When did the word of God become not enough for you? And so that's my challenge. So what I want to speak about today, John chapter 17, verse 21 to 23, this would be one of the last prayers that Jesus prayed before he was crucified. John chapter 17, verse 21 to 23, I'm just reading out of the English Standard Version. And it says in verse 21, Jesus praying, he says, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. That they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and loved me, even as you loved them, even as you loved me. And that's the title of what I want to share this morning. If you want to make notes, just one as we are one. That's the words of Jesus. So you've got a red pen, you can write it in red. One as we are one. You know, you read that verse and you go, that's pretty complete. We are one, and me and you and him and he, and it's all of that. But if you read it real carefully, Jesus is linking something that maybe we haven't seen before. I wonder how many of you, when I read Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, noticed the first part of the verse said, all the people came together as one. When I was preparing, I thought, man, I went back to this. Yeah, that's exactly what I just said. One of the most common scriptures in the Bible talking about marriage would have to be Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And anyone of you who are married will know that that doesn't happen automatically. It takes a little bit of effort and a little bit of work. Don't say amen too loudly. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, it says the exact same thing. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And then it says, Paul says, "This is a great mystery." And it is. You know, when you get married and you become one with this other person, it is a great mystery. And then it says, "But I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church." And often we hear that scripture shared at marriage courses or marriage seminars, but I want to share it today regarding the body of Christ, because it says clearly that we are to become one, just like my wife and I have become one. So we're heading for our 10th anniversary this year, and that's super exciting. And you know, there's times I'm not sure we're one, but there's other times I think, man, we're just one solid, this is incredible. And it's in the other times that you go to work. But I believe that in the body of Christ, we are meant to share that same oneness. We are meant to be one with one another. Not just here on a Sunday to come and pretend we're all friendly and friendship break, high five someone that you don't normally speak to. But are you really becoming one with the body? That's what God is really asking us. Have you ever heard someone say, "Man, I love God, but I can't stand his people"? Have you ever, I've heard that. I'm leaving this church because I don't feel loved and I'm going to another church. Well, I really have a challenge for you. You know, when I was, even this morning, just thinking, this is not in my notes, so I'll give you this for free. When they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Who remembers what he said? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. What's the next verse? No. What did he say first? The second is like this, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Can I challenge you that you cannot say, "I love God," but you don't love your neighbor? You know, we put all the emphasis on the first one. Man, I love God. I'll do anything for God. What will you do for your neighbor? What will you do for the person who's sitting on the same row as you at church? The challenge for you and I is to see those two as one, because Jesus said, the second is the same as the first. The greatest commandment is to... So you can actually swap those around if you wanted to. They're interchangeable. That's what Jesus said. If you ask you what's the greatest commandment, you can say to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so I believe that there's a unity missing in the body of Christ that is limiting what God can do. Can I just go back and read one or two little things that we may have missed when we read this? In John chapter 17 again, it says... the first part, the Father in me and I in you, that they may also be in us and be one. Listen to this. So that the world may believe that you've sent me. If you want to convince the world that God sent Jesus, what does that say you need to do? You need to be one. You need to be one with the body. When last has someone come into this church and gone, "I cannot believe the unity. I cannot believe how those people are one. There must be a God." Well, I don't think that's happened yet, man, but I want it to happen. And where are we going as far as making us one, one body? If you and I were to come in here and we knew nothing about church, and I gave you a Bible and said, "Read this, cover to cover," what would you come up with as church? What would you come up with and say, "Yep, that's how I think church should be"? You know, if you knew nothing, if you had been on an island, fortunate enough to be there your whole life and knew nothing, and you came and you arrived here in civilization and we gave you the Bible and said, "Read this cover to cover." If you came here the first Sunday, would you go, yeah, that's what I read. That's exactly what I read. Yeah, I understand this. I'm not so sure. Because the number one thing would have to be our love for one another. You know, you'd arrive here and you'd think, "Oh, they're singing. Okay, yeah, I read a bit about that in the book. Yep, that's all right." And so you'd sit through that. And then, "Oh, there's someone up there with a microphone and he's doing the speaking. Not sure I read that in the book," because they were all sitting around and they were teaching and sharing. "Okay, but that's all right. Maybe it's a bit different." And then at the end, you'd go, "Man, I know right now, Rocky's got two coats. He's going to give me one." I know that this person is going to give me some of his food because I've got none. He's going to help me. And what is he actually going to get? Good to see you. I'll see you next week. Right. He's going to go, oh my goodness, this is not what I read in the book. It said they were together in houses, meeting, gathering, fellowshipping. They became one. But this guy's just said, cheers, see you next week. And I'm just going, man, are we really missing what God has said? John chapter 13, verse 35, it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Do we really understand? Do we really stand out because we love one another? I shared last time I was here just the incredible miracle we had of folk helping us get a deposit for a house. And I thought, man, how close is that to what the early church did? It said they were selling all their goods, helping each other. No one was in need. But we do that sporadically. We don't do that all the time. We should be. Philippians 1 verse 27 says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Are they saying that about us? That we are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Listen to the next verse then. So don't be frightened in anything by your opponents, because this is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but your salvation. So listen to what it's saying there. Paul is saying that when you stand together one by one, and you're in unity, and you're fighting together, and you're side by side, and you're acting as one, the world will be convinced of their destruction and of your salvation. When last has that happened? That someone has come and spent a bit of time with you. Man, the way I see you guys are so together, I'm convinced that I'm doomed to destruction and I need this God. We all go the other way and say, oh, you know, we should go out and witness and knock on doors and invite people to church. The Bible is saying, if you just live in such unity, one spirit and one mind, and stand side by side fighting for the gospel, the world will go, no way, I'm doomed to, this is what the Bible says, not what I'm saying, that you're doomed to destruction. Well, I've not had that happen in my life yet. I haven't had anyone come to me and go, man, I'm convinced that I'm doomed to hell forever because I see the unity in your life, the way you're living with each other and you're in unity, one spirit, one mind, striving and fighting together for the gospel. Just how far are we? How far have we got from what the Word of God is? You know, I keep thinking the Bible talks a lot about we are the body of Christ. And I've started changing my terminology. So when I text some of the hospo people back in the city campus and say, hey guys, we're on hospo this week. When you get to church at 8:30, I've stopped saying that we can get church ready. Because we are the church. We're the body of Christ. So I've said, come on, let's get the building ready so the church can arrive. And when you start thinking about that, where we're the body of Christ, and there was a verse here that linked marriage. When a man and a woman get together, they will leave their mother and father, they'll become one flesh. And then it said, this mystery is the same as the body. So we need to leave our worldly ways, what we were doing, come together as one, and be the body of Christ. Now let me just explain a few things about the body. I don't know if you've ever thought about yourself this way. Francis Chan has a great illustration, and he bought something on eBay, but who knows, eBay's closed at the moment. You can't really get anything out of China. And so he bought a foot, and he just had a mannequin's foot in church. And so imagine if I had a foot lifted you this morning. Who have you thought about yourselves as just the foot? Not many. Who have you thought about yourselves just maybe as the hand? In a way, that's what we've got to be thinking. We are members of one body. Now this morning, when I knew I had to come to Coast, I didn't have a big argument going on between my hand, my foot, and some other parts where they wanted to go. Some of them may have been a little bit slow getting out of bed, but they all came, and we're all in the same place. But what happens today in the body of Christ is the foot says, well, I'm not going today because, you know, I've got a boat, and I need to just see if the water's good, the surf looks good. And so the foot goes and does something else. But the hand comes, and the other hand, and the other foot, and the body's a little bit crippled today, because there's members missing. And then next week, the hand says, well, I'm not going because I heard who's speaking. And it's not really, you know, not really my cup of tea, so I'm going to just stay at home. And so again, the body is not effective and not crippled. if we really are members of the body. And can I tell you one thing as well? You know, I've maybe a hammer or something has slipped in the workshop and hit a finger. The rest of my body doesn't go, you're on your own. When you're better, just come back because you're hurting us. I want you to stay away. In actual fact, I shouldn't say this, but normally, straight into your mouth. And you get it close and you hold it and you wrap it. But as the body of Christ, we're different. You're hurting. When you get in, you're better. Come back. We should be one body, lots of members, one body. And we all come together and we act in unity. We walk together. We go in the same direction. We have the same mind. We're all fighting together, side by side, striving for the gospel so that the world will be convinced of their destruction. Maybe that should be our new evangelism strategy. Forget that. Let's just become one, live in unity, and make this body real. Let me tell you, my body will never function good if we only get together once a week. So on Sunday, my body walks in order, everything marches good, but the rest of the week, it's just all over the show. And I really want to challenge us that if we are really going to be the body of Christ, it goes beyond just what happens here on a Sunday morning. There's things like Connect Group. There's stuff that we need to get together. What about inviting people over? And if you really want, that's what you want to do. And the first time you hear there's a hiccup in someone's life, you're over there. What can I do? How can I sort this out? I was fortunate to do an awesome motorbike ride a few weeks ago. And I left at 5 in the morning. It was fantastic. And at 12 that day, my wife moved us into another house. Isn't that good? That's pretty good, eh? So I rolled out the door at 5 and said, see you later. And she moved the house at 12. But you know what was amazing? She messaged me. I won't give you all the detail, but she messaged me at 12 and was in a bit of a state. So many people had arrived. The place was done and dusted in like an hour, hour and a half. Gone. That's what the body does. You get together, you climb in, you do it, and we all do it together. Striving side by side, one spirit, one mind, and then the world will be convinced of their destruction. You know, there's a couple of verses in the Bible that, well, there's more than just a couple. Those verses in the Bible that you never really understand. You know, you when you've been saved for a long time and you've just walked with God for a long time, you put them in the back of the closet because they're just confusing. You can't really explain them well. And you all look at me like, nah, we don't have any of those. Oh, I don't believe you. I'm going to go through a couple of them quickly. And one of them is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they're talking about the early church. They've just had Pentecost. It's been incredible. And in verse 42, and it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You know, when I read that, I go, man, I want those times again. And I don't believe God has changed because God doesn't change. So all that has changed is us. And so I need to read that again and say, well, where have we changed? Where are we not doing what that said? And so if I look at it, the first part there, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayers. And if I look at that, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I'm pretty devoted to the Word of God and to teaching. I love listening to podcasts. I love mowing the lawn because then it's onto the podcast and I can mow the lawn. I love it. Don't know if I do a good job with the headphones on, but it's all right. I enjoy finding, when someone says, man, you've got to listen to that Word, it's good. I'll go and listen to the podcast. So I'd say I'm pretty devoted to the teaching of the apostles and the saints. And I reckon there's a few of you who would say the same. The next one, devoted to fellowship. I don't think I'm too bad. I'd probably be at a 30% maybe. Maybe a 40. You know, I come to church and I just love God's people and I love catching up. We haven't been here a while. I'll see you and I'll fellowship a little bit. And my wife's really good at it. She'll be a bit higher because she loves inviting people over and we'll have people over for dinner and we fellowship and eat around the table. And I get to the privilege of managing the cafe over at the the city campus. You've got to come if you haven't been. But I enjoy fellowshipping there. And if someone comes in, always, hey, have you got time for a coffee? And I really enjoy fellowshipping. Yeah. I don't want to say I'm devoted, though. I probably need to up my fellowship a bit if I want to do what the scripture says. I probably need to up it a little bit. The last one was prayers, devoted to prayers. Again, I'm not bad. But I could probably do a lot better. When there's a church prayer meeting, I love it. I'll go there. I try and make daily time where I can pray. Would I say I'm devoted? I could probably be a bit better. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. And I'm sure you can judge yourselves this morning. How are you on fellowship? How are you on the teaching of the word? How are you on prayer? But this one confuses me a little sometimes, and it's one of those verses you read and go, okay, we'll leave that for another day. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. How devoted are you to taking the Lord's Supper? How devoted are you to breaking of bread? You know, I know many of you are devoted to church because you've been just in seven this morning, setting up and getting ready. I know a lot of you are devoted to your job. You're there every day. I know some of you are even devoted to sport. You're committed and you exercise so you can do it. I know the surfers are pretty devoted. They got little cameras on their computers and can see when the surf's up and when it's not. How devoted are you to the Lord's Supper? You know, the early church, they broke bread. Late in that one there, it says, and day by day, they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. When last have you broken bread in your home? When last have you broken bread in your home? I had a friend in South Africa, and him and his wife would come around, and normally he would say, okay, that's it, last coffee, the cup's cold, whatever, we're going to leave. And she'd say, let's break bread quickly. And in her bag, she'd have a little kit, and she'd whip it out, and we'd break bread together. And I go, now that's been devoted to the breaking of bread, to the Lord's Supper. And so my challenge to you is, how devoted are you? I mean, I'm just reading the scripture here, so you can't say Victor's coming up with something. That's what it said. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. So how devoted are you to that? And we're going to break bread a little while later, but I wanted to just challenge you with all of that. Now the next verse, this one's even worse. This one's even more confusing and challenging. And you don't hear it very often, but I'm going to go through it. 1 Corinthians 11, you all know that's the chapter. If you get rushed into doing communion in church or connect group or something, just whip out 1 Corinthians 11 and you can read that, because that talks about what you should be doing. But normally this is a verse you read pretty quickly and you get onto the other ones, the good ones. So 1 Corinthians 11:27, it says, whoever therefore eats of the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. But listen to this verse. I don't know if you've ever heard this warning before. Hey, we're going to have communion. I just want to give you a warning quickly. Verse 30, this is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have even died. Have you ever heard that health and safety warning at communion? Hey, we're going to have communion this morning. I want you to be real careful. Some of you could get sick, you could be ill, or you may even die. Have you ever heard that? It's in the Bible. It's there. Verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 11. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some of you have died. You know, and I've tried to understand that, and I've done a lot of searching and looking at different scriptures. And I do believe there are many interpretations of that, or it has a much broader meaning than what I'm going to share with you for a minute. But if you just go back one verse, it says, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body. It's not saying without, not their body or your own body. It says the body. And what did we just say? What is the body of Christ? We're the body of Christ. And so I really think that one of the key things that verse is saying, many of you are sick and ill, and some of you even died because you haven't discerned the body properly. And you've taken of the Lord's Supper. Jesus, this is my body, broken for you. All of you, eat a little bit of it. And then he goes on and says, but we are now the body of Christ. Different members of one body. And so what I really believe we need to be doing when we come to the Lord's Supper He's saying, how am I with the body? And am I discerning the body properly? Am I coming? Have I got anything against my brother? There's another place in the Bible that says, when you bring your gift to the altar, lay it down first and go and make right. When last have you at communion gone, man, I was a little bit grouchy with Pastor Rocky this week. I'm going to just go and give him a hug and say, man, I love you, and I realize you're part of me. You're one with me. We are the body of Christ. And I don't want to take communion this morning. I don't want to take part of the Lord's body if I haven't discerned our relationship properly. And I'm not talking about going, man, I want to forgive you for the time you said this to me. That's because that's actually putting the blame back on him. What you want to do is, man, I want to ask you to forgive me. That I've just held something against you, and I don't want to do that because we're one and we together. Hey, Peter, the last time you greeted me at the door, you didn't greet my wife, and I got the grump about that, man. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, go to Peter and give him a hug and say, man, I realize you're my brother. We're one, and I don't want anything between us. And I don't want to die, and I don't want to get sick or ill. And so I want to do what the Word of God says. I want to discern the body this morning, that we really are one, and we going to live in unity and become what God wants us to do. You know, Jesus said, this is a new commandment I give you. Love one another as you love yourself. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to get ready to do communion. And I want to read the last verse I want to read today. Psalm 133, just a couple of verses. It starts off in Psalm 133 verse 1. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brothers to dwell together in unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brothers to dwell together in unity. And goes on and talks about oil pouring over the priest's beard and a whole lot of stuff. But in verse 3, it finishes. And it says that, for there the Lord commands a blessing and life forever. Can I challenge you, if we are lacking and missing the blessing and the provision of God, it's because we are not in unity and really one. And can I just say something about unity? When I married my wife, I thought, man, she can do no wrong. She has to be an angel. But 10 years later, I found one thing. No. There's a little bit of things you go, oh, that's not what I expected. And you got to choose to love beyond that. And let me tell you, the body of Christ is no different. Man, I meet Pastor Rocky, I thought, man, he's the greatest guy out. And we had coffees. I thought, man, this guy's me. Then I hung around him. I thought, man, he's loud. Or, you know, he's different. And let me tell you now, a lot of times we get disappointed, upset, or even offended by difference. What for? Imagine if everyone was the same. It'd be real boring. And so I want to challenge you this morning. When you have, I'll just use a word that everyone uses, when you have the pip with someone and you're really upset with them, just say, hang on a minute. Am I upset with them because they're just different? Or did they do something wrong? There's a big difference between doing something different and doing something wrong. Majority of the time, we're upset with someone because they've done something different. And I'm learning over and over, now that I've had half a century under my belt, that difference is pretty normal. If you just look what God created, the animals, I mean, just the insects. There's some that crawl, some that fly. It's incredible. But they're all insects. Well, we're all members of one body. We may be very different. Some maybe even different skin color, some different hairdo, some different size, some different short, whatever. But if we really want to be one and really want to strive together for the gospel, that the world will know of their destruction, then let's see where we go as we discern the body. And so I want to challenge you this morning. We've got a few minutes to do communion. And we don't want to rush it, and I'm going to ask that we'll just stay seated, and once we start worshiping, the host will start handing out communion. And I don't mind if you need to grab your cup and element and walk over to someone and just say, hey man, I love you. And I want to be more devoted to fellowship with you. I want to be more committed to being in unity with you. I'm not talking about going to ask for forgiveness or whatever. I'm just saying, being more committed to unity, that we can be one body, members, different members of one body, the people will know that God sent Jesus because of the way we are in unity and love with one another. Can we do that? So we're going to just start worshiping, and then once we do that, I'm going to let the communion come around. And once you've received, you can stand, and I'll hand back to Pastor Rocky and Pastor.